The province's teachers are looking for clear answers and direction on the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak on teachers and their students. NLTA President Dean Ingram is going to be joining us by phone. But first, let's check in with some of the audio from the briefing yesterday. We're going to hear from Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Janice Fitzgerald, about what changes need to be made within the school system to prevent outbreaks from happening again. Here's a couple of responses.
Certainly, I know of the list, Peter. It was prepared by Public Health and Eastern Health. My understanding, it is with the school district who wish to do some consultations with internal stakeholders before any further steps are taken.
I think right now, what we're seeing, our initial investigation, or at least at Eastern Health, we're certainly seeing spread, not just within the school, but in social activities as well, through sporting events and through other social activities. So certainly we're seeing a lot of spread in those situations. This variant certainly does change the way we look at things, and we are looking at all of that right now as we look to, you know, how we move out of level five.
That's just some of the audio from Dr. Janice Fitzgerald yesterday at the latest COVID-19 briefing. But there are so many questions and concerns still surrounding the school system. Dean Ingram, the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador's Teachers Association, joins the show. Good morning.
And good morning to you.
So what's your reaction to, you know, the decision to release those 22 schools that have been impacted by the outbreak?
Well, a couple things. I think we need to realize, and I think everyone does, that this is a serious virus with potentially serious consequences. And as you've been saying for a while, and I think Dr. Fitzgerald has done a great job with the problem as a whole, but for those questioning the measures we have in place, those questioning whether we need to enhance measures, all I have to say is that we will never know if we've been too cautious, but we may find out very quickly if we haven't been cautious enough. Everyone's safety in school communities, everyone doing everything that can be done to limit the spread of this virus and prevent another outbreak has to be at the forefront right now. Like everyone else, we're anxious to know what's coming, what plans are on the way for moving forward to manage this variant and to prevent further spread in schools beyond the two-week circuit break. In terms of the information being released yesterday, we're pleased. We're pleased to see the information released by Eastern Health yesterday evening around the number of schools affected and the extent of the impact on students and school staff. I think this will assist with the planning going forward.
Were you surprised that it was 22 schools impacted by this?
I can't say that I am surprised to the extent. We've been saying since July, and consistently saying this since July, that the public health protocols we have in our schools are inconsistent with the precautions required for most community spaces and other public and private sector workplaces. But the important thing is moving forward, there's an opportunity to learn from this experience and to reconsider what effective school health precautions, public health precautions for schools would actually look like. I was pleased to hear Dr. Fitzgerald and yesterday evening on another media outlet, Minister Osborne, state that they are examining and re-examining the protocols in our schools. It's needed. Now, in that regard, we'd certainly be interested in knowing more regarding what's known about the role of the interaction of school and school-sponsored activities as source of transmission. There's a significant number of individuals that were attached to our school system. But I want to stress this, is that the school that came public with this, the initial one, it could have very easily been any school, any school. And it just speaks out there. And when I hear comments, I'm very disappointed to hear the negative, the hurtful comments directed at the school community and those within it. To be blunt, those actions are indeed despicable. And my thoughts are with those who have been impacted by COVID-19, and I wish each and every one of them a full and a speedy recovery.
What kind of negative comments were you seeing?
Well, I heard bullying, ostracizing, blaming people for the outbreak, blaming people for getting sick. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion. A ridiculous notion. No one wants to get sick. This is something that happens with the virus, and there is no one to blame. And I want to be clear that we're seeking this information not just for the sake of information. Privacy concerns has to be sacrosanct. It isn't and shouldn't be about blame. Kindness is key. The information assists in planning going forward. But to assign blame or harass or bully, especially ironic with yesterday being Pink Shirt Day, Anti-Bullying Day, actions such as that are despicable.
How concerned are you that you haven't yet really had a firm plan for managing the B.1.1.7 variant outbreak? And, I mean, we're coming up on the end of the circuit breaker as it was first announced. Tomorrow is February 26th.
Well, I would say that the quicker the plan is communicated to those who have to implement it, the better. I think teachers and schools will be tasked with implementing whatever plan we have going forward. And we do hope that government and public health officials are really seriously considering the plan to enhance our current safety measures in our schools to prevent transmission and including reinforcement of physical distancing, stronger mask requirements. I remember reading from the CDC only yesterday that they're clearly stating that if you want to limit in-school transmission, you have to consider physical distancing measures. You have to consider mask requirements. And as we've been saying for a significant thing, Jerry, we've had this discussion a number of times in the past several months, is that masks need to be mandatory K-12 unless there's documented exemptions.
Do you know how many teachers have tested positive for COVID-19 thus far?
Anecdotally, I have heard the number 12, but I know there are a number. I haven't had that exact number communicated. I have spoken directly to three of them, and they're doing well. Of course, one was referenced on the media last night. I spoke to her as well yesterday, and they're doing well. But this is a serious virus with potentially serious consequences, and we need to take things very seriously as a province as a whole. And we've been in a good place until this outbreak, but it shows how quickly things can change. Adhering to the measures put in place for everyone in every place has to be what we're looking to. And again, as I mentioned, we've been saying since July that the public health protocols in our schools aren't consistent with what we see in most community spaces and other public and private sector workplaces. And I'm pleased to note that there is going to be a re-examination of those. But of course, the re-examination, I'll be looking to see what that re-examination results in. Fact matters, our schools should not be the weak link in our COVID-19 precautions. And going forward, I think there are some valuable lessons to be learned of how quickly things can change. And we're really hoping that government and public health officials are really seriously looking at enhancing the needed measures within our schools.
And Dean Ingram, what sort of details would you like to hear that you're not hearing right now?
In terms of the plan?
Yeah, the plan and, I mean, the circuit breaker, no word yet on what's going to happen there.
Well, we don't know. I would like to think, I'm hoping that that information on what the plans will be beyond Friday coming out very soon. I want to see the details about the additional safety measures that we put in place. And again, I mentioned a couple of the role of physical distancing, a stronger mask requirements, ventilation. All these things are critically important. And that's really where things are. I think if nothing else, this outbreak with the B.1.17 variant has changed the water on the beans. It certainly changed them significantly. Public health needs to adapt to this changing dynamic with a changed set of protocols. And we'll be looking to see what additional measures will be put in place to ensure our schools have the standards of safety that are afforded other public and private sector workplaces, other community spaces. It's too important to not get it right, but I am pleased to know here that they are looking to, enhance the protocols, looking to review the protocols, certainly needed. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what the vaccination plans are. We've been suggesting for a while now that in light of the situation in our schools, in light of teachers being considered essential workers, they should be given essential workers protections. And this is one thing to see. As I said, I know of several teachers that were diagnosed. Now, can I say with certainty that any of them contracted within the workplace? Well, I can't say with certainty, but I think it stands to reason with that number contained within a school community that there's a strong likelihood that they very well may have.
And, of course, we learned early on that the source that they were finding was Mount Pearl Senior High. How are your members who teach there doing and feeling about all that now?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety in the system as a whole, and I want to mention that while it might have been Mount Pearl Senior High that I identified, that could have been any school. It could have been any situation. It just happened that that was the one where it originally began and originated in. But members across the province, and certainly within that school community, and we wish every one of them well in recovering, those that were positive, and not just teachers, anyone for that matter. But our members collectively has been anxious about this since the onset. We've been very vocal in saying what we need to have put in place, and the same precautions that are in place in other public sector buildings, other community spaces, etc., should be in our schools. Our schools shouldn't be the weak link in our COVID-19 precautions. And if nothing else, this situation should be a lesson learned for everyone as to, A, how fragile the system can be, and, B, why it's so important to have adequate safety measures throughout our entire province.
And how fast things can change, too. But, Dean Ingram, would you be comfortable with schools outside Metro reopening?
Well, that's a decision that really needs to be driven by public health. I think public health needs to reevaluate their protocols, but these are healthcare decisions. What we would say is that if a decision is made to open schools, to go back to a site-based learning environment, and I want to stress, that is what everyone wants. Teachers want that, students want that, but it has to be done safely. Public health has to make an evaluation as to whether it is safe or not to do so. Public health has to ensure that necessary protocols are put in place to make that environment safe. I think Dr. Fitzgerald and her team will make those decisions. What we're suggesting is that it needs to be done very carefully. You need to evaluate the epidemiology in that area and couple that with the safety precautions that are needed to put in place to ensure those who are entering those school buildings, everyone, students, teachers, caretakers, secretaries, student assistants, everyone, is entering a safe workplace, a safe learning environment.
President of the NLTA, Dean Ingram, thanks for joining the show this morning.
My pleasure.